From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Smith hits a high fly ball to right field. In from right comes Torrey Hunter. Makes the catch, and the Detroit Tigers are going back to the American League Championship Series.
Yes, good afternoon, good people. How about those Detroit Tigers? Yes, they were unbelievable last night. A 3-0 shutout win over the Oakland A's. They now move on to the ALCS for the third straight season. Unbelievable. Of course, we will definitely be talking about the Tigers. Huge news across Michigan. Oh, man. But good afternoon. It's that time of the day. Once again, 1 p.m. Thanks for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your day. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Hope you're all having a fantastic Friday. TGIF, Michigan State's homecoming starts today. That's right. Tons of festivities here in East Lansing. Now, I will be walking today's homecoming parade at 6 p.m. with Super Y. I didn't even know who Super Y was until about 2 weeks ago. He seems like a cool guy. But, yes, you can catch me out there walking about a mile. I got my running shoes ready. Should be a fun time. But this will be my first ever homecoming parade. That should be a cardinal sin if you go to MSU. But, yes, it will be my very first one. Definitely looking forward to that. Now, the parade will be downtown East Lansing. WKAR will be walking down Grand River and through campus. So come say hello, all right, folks? Now, I also want to congratulate our two winners of tomorrow's homecoming football tickets as MSU takes on Indiana at Spartan Stadium tomorrow at noon. Congrats to Chris from East Lansing and Suzanne from Holt. Those were our two winners from yesterday. Tune in each and every week as we will be giving away MSU home football tickets of most weeks, that is. The key is tuning in, though. Don't miss out, good people, on your chance to sit in the crowd and enjoy a good old MSU football game. And we are also taking your calls throughout the entire show as you give us your game predictions for that MSU-Indiana football game, as well as the Lions and Browns. 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. And again, how about those Detroit Tigers? Justin Verlander pitches another gem as the Tigers rolled in a 3-0 shutout win over the Oakland A's to move on, as I said, to their third straight ALCS. We will certainly be talking about that later on in the show here on Current Sports. But before that, in case you missed last night's Current Sports TV, I sat down with award-winning multimedia journalist Joanne Gerstner. Now, Joanne has done extensive research on the topic of concussions in the world of sports. It's become a highly talked about topic due to a variety of reasons. Now, especially this week, as the PBS documentary League of Denial from the Frontline series premiered Tuesday night, it primarily focused on the NFL's cover-up of the detrimental effects that concussions could have on players years after retiring. Now, thought-provoking stuff. If you didn't catch it, it's on PBS.org. Had me really just shaking my head throughout its entirety. I mean, to see what could happen to a football player after those years of just, you know, helmet-to-helmet contact and constant, you know, falling to the ground. I mean, a lot of these players are definitely messed up. You know, there are many accounts throughout that documentary from players like Iron Mike Webster, who, of course, was a legendary Hall of Fame center for the Pittsburgh Steelers back in the day, to Junior Seau, a legend in football as well. So, but I first asked Joanne, just what exactly is a concussion?
A concussion is what they call a traumatic brain injury. Basically, something, an incident that happens either by contact or by something running into you in which your brain has an injury. And your brain is floating in your skull. So basically, your head gets knocked, your brain gets slammed into your skull, and it causes an injury. And the degrees of the injury depend on the person, the blow, and it's very individualistic. So that's what makes this so complex.
Now, Joanne, you have done extensive research on this topic at U of M. You've met some of the top neurologists in the entire world. I mean, talk about your research. What have you done and what you found?
Well, I've been very blessed. I spent the past year as a fellow at the University of Michigan embedded in the neurology department, and specifically the sports neurology department. So I got to see Dr. Jeff Kutcher, who is the head of the department. He's one of the best in the world in dealing with concussions. He's in fact one of the first to really recognize the need for athletes to have specialized neurological care to deal with concussions. So I got to see patients being treated. I got to go to an event where I got to see how they do their work. I got to see the after effects of how they were dealing with post-concussive issues such as memory loss, sleep issues, depression, and it varies by person. And I saw little kids, 8 years old, all the way up to people that will hopefully be competing in Sochi in the Olympics.
Now, before we took the air, we sat down and we kind of talked about the protocol that goes on once, you know, that initial hit happens, whether it be football, whether it be lacrosse, whatever sport it is. Can you tell everyone out there, what is the protocol when you suspect that, you know, maybe this person has a concussion?
Well, obviously, this is what's in place in major colleges and the pros. High schools should have things in place and youth sports because there's a lot of parents running the teams. Who knows what's happening? But in general, there is something called the SCAT, which is an assessment tool that has been updated by the neurological community, specifically the American Academy of Neurology. Basically, they want to take you through a series of tests to make sure your cognitive function is where it should be. Do you know where you are? Are your eyes tracking properly? Little things like that, which may not seem like a big deal when you're an athlete, like, why are they doing this to me? But if you have a neurologist there or a trainer or somebody that has been well-versed in what these little things mean, there could be clues that your brain might be starting to misfire, or you might be going to something more serious with your brain. So the good places like Michigan State, Michigan, the Big Ten, the NFL, NHL, they all have people in place that will lead the athletes through these steps. And no more are the days of, hey, you know what, you kind of knocked your head in the first half, we'll let you play in the second half. Once you have any suspicion of concussion, you're out.
That's it. They're taking it really serious.
They have to, because you are not in a position to say if you have a concussion. I'm fine, coach, put me back in. When your brain might starting to be misfiring and you could really be in trouble.
Now, Joanne, I got to ask you, because concussions, this is nothing new. I mean, this has been going on for years and years and years. I was talking to my dad the other day when he used to play football and used to tell me he actually got a concussion when he was in high school. I got to ask you, why is this just now becoming such a huge issue and problem that's alerting everyone around here?
I think it's an evolution in our understanding, both medically, but also all of us as athletes and sports fans, that the old concept of, hey, you know, get up, dust it off, you just got your bell rung. Well, we're now starting to see people that are having problems cognitively. People like Mike Webster, Junior Seau, others that may have had underlying depression issues, whatever, but they did kill themselves. So we cannot deny, I mean, you will never find a neurologist, no matter where they are in the spectrum of this debate, that says it's a good thing to have a concussion. I mean, a blow to the head is still a blow to the head, and your brain is the most precious thing you have in your body. Because once your brain is broken, we can't fix it.
That's so true. Now, in the League of Denial, I mean, it primarily focused on the NFL, the game of football. Right. But, Joanne, this just isn't a football problem, right?
No. And it's really fascinating that they think about 3.9 million people went to the emergency room in the last couple of years with concussion-related incidents. 60% uptick in the last decade of kids going to the emergency room with concussion-related incidents from sports. So I've seen parents, I've talked to parents, oh, I have a daughter, she doesn't play football, so she'll be fine. And then they're in visiting the clinic because they have a soccer injury, gymnastics, diving, basketball, elbow to the head. Mm-hmm. So just because you may or may not be participating in football does not mean you're cool with other things. Lacrosse, wrestling, there's a lot of other ways you can get concussions. I mean, Alex Avila from the Tigers, he had concussion this season. So this whole concentration on football and concussions is probably because of the lawsuit that was brought by the former players and people speaking out like Dr. McKee and others. So it's kind of been an awareness and an awakening, and we're now starting to take it seriously because we don't have the answers yet. Nobody does. Neurology does not know how to fix a concussion. We can get better at diagnosing it, but we don't have a magic pill to give you to heal you at halftime and get you out for the second quarter or third quarter.
Right. Now, Joanne, a big aspect of this is the parents. Parents who are looking at this research, looking at concussions and saying, you know, I don't know if I want my little guy playing. I actually want to play a bite for you really quick. This is from Ann McKee, the neurologist you just talked
Dr.
about
McKee.
from that special, League of Denial, last night.
If you had children who were 8 and 10 and 12, would they play football?
8, 10, 12, no, they would not.
Why?
Because the way football's being played currently that I've seen, it's dangerous. It's dangerous, and it could impact their long-term mental health. You'd only get one brain. The thing you want your kids to do most of all is succeed in life and be everything they can be. And if there's anything that may infringe on that, that may limit that, I don't want my kids doing it.
Again, that was Dr. Ann McKee from that League of Denial special that aired on PBS Tuesday night. When you hear that, Joanne, do you agree with her? If your little guy's like, hey, I want to play football, do you agree with her response to that question?
Well, I understand her response because from what I've learned from my research this year, neurologists have told me your brain does not fully click into place developmentally until you're about 12 years old. So her answer is consistent with that, 8, 10, 12, your brain's still growing, developing. So if you get a brain injury, a concussion during that time period, they don't know if some part of your development of your brain could be hindered.
Right.
And pediatric neurologists are looking into it. And there is definitely a different timeline of recovery for children than adults. So I understand that. But let's be honest, sports is a really positive and healthy outlet in our lives. It's giving us structure. It gives us some physical exercise. It teaches us teamwork and respect and how to win gracefully and lose gracefully. So there's a lot of social aspects of sports that are very important. So I don't think that can be discounted. She's correct, though, in that a lot of youth teams don't have great equipment. The parents might mean very well in coaching, but they might be using antiquated techniques like leading with the head or not teaching proper stances or how to protect themselves. So you put that all together, and unless you have a coach or a team or a league that you really see is doing a good job and has a protocol in place so that if a little one does get hurt, they are seen and treated properly, not just put back in the game and told to brush it off, those are all really important. So I think she's erring on the side of caution, but she's also the one that's seeing the end results of all these brains being brought to her with CTE in them.
Right. Now, I got to ask you, Joanne, I mean, with this, you know, the ongoing research when it comes to concussions, and we're learning more and more about it as the years go by, but the more we learn, I mean, there's, at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do, right?
Absolutely. And a neurologist that I met from Australia gave me one of the best analogies that where we are right now in neurology is we're like looking through a keyhole into a dark room. We know there's a room on the other side. We can see a little bit around the keyhole, but we can't tell you how big the room is, what kind of furniture is in the room, where the light switch is in the room. And that's how we are right now looking in the brain. There is no test we can do on you right now, mainstream, to tell you if there's CTE in your brain. And the only way they're seeing the CTE in these athletes who have died is because they're dead. They're taking their brains apart. And
so the only way you can know if you have CTE is if you're dead.
As of today, right now, absolutely. They're working on scans and they're working on technology, but we do not have it. And as Dr. McKee says in the special, she literally dissected the brains to find these particles of CTE that she's pointing to towards being as the culprit for the brain damage in these NFL players.
Wow, interesting stuff. Again, that League of Denial special is online if you want to check it out at pbs.com. Let's shift gears a little bit here, Joanne. Let's let the people know a little bit about you.
Okay.
How did you get involved with sports reporting?
Well, I was really blessed. I am a native Detroiter, and I grew up in a sports-mad city, a sports-mad state, as you know.
Yeah.
So that was all around me. But I also grew up in a time and a place where women were already sports reporter. There were women at the news and the free press. So when I opened the newspaper, and I was a huge newspaper reader, I saw female names writing sports, not knowing until years later that maybe like five of the best female sports writers in the country were working in Detroit at the time. So they inspired me, and I got to know some of them, and I was lucky later on in life to become some of their colleagues. So I was lucky to be in the right place at the right time and be inspired by other women who started blazing a path for people like me.
Now, something that's so inspiring, Joanne, is that you are part of a really cool organization, the Association for Women in Sports Media. Talk
Absolutely.
About that. How did you get involved with that?
Well, I can't even tell you what a source of strength awesome has been in my career in that just to know that there are other women that do what you do out there is incredible because most of the time, wherever I go, when I'm at a Pistons practice, I'm the only woman that's there. When I go to a Red Wings locker room, there might be one other woman there. So it's usually me and about 30 other guys.
Is that discouraging at all? I mean, going to something
sometimes like that? Sometimes it is, yeah, absolutely. But I have to say, the people I have worked with throughout my career in the media, and I have to say the athletes and coaches have all been incredibly respectful and supportive, and I've also returned the same to them. I've been prepared. I have treated them with respect, so I think it's a two-way street. But just to know there was a place where I could go to talk to other women, to have mentors, to have career advice. Now I can pay it forward by helping other students and interns and whoever's coming up by giving them advice. It's like this really nice sisterhood. And, you know, the statistics show that sports departments in the United States have about 10% women.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at any stats from the NFL or any other places, sports fans are at least 50% women, if not more, depending on the sport. So we still
right.
have a long way to go. And to think that women just started doing this basically, and for real in the early 1980s, we're still just in the start of building our careers.
Now, I tell you what, I mean, it's to me, looking on, if I turn on ESPN or Fox Sports One now, or, I mean, it seems like women are becoming more and more prevalent in it. But you told me before the show that the numbers have actually gone down.
The numbers have gone down. If you had talked to me about 10 years ago, I would have told you there were 5 women that were major sports editors of newspapers in the United States. Right now, there's only about 1.
Wow.
Yeah.
But
a lot of that has to do with the downsizing in the media industry. There's been a lot of hits, a lot of job losses like in other industries. And I have to tell you honestly, I've talked to a lot of women. They're like, you know what? I don't know if I want to go into this necessarily. Maybe I'll go behind the scenes. Maybe I will go and start my own broadcasting thing. Like I'll do something online. They find different ways to use their talents. But if you open up a newspaper, if you open up the Detroit News, there's only 1 woman that writes there, Angelique Shingelis.
Right.
If you open up the Detroit Free Press, there's 1 woman, Helena St. James. So that's the same numbers that we had. Angelique's been there since, I think, the early 90s. And she's been the only woman there the whole time until I joined her. And then I went and pursued other opportunities. So it's scary right now. But that being said, we're here. I'm impressed and moved and humbled by the women that are coming up through school. They want this. They're talented. They're amazing. And so I think if the opportunities are there, they'll take it even farther than we did.
Such a great, give it up for that, guys. Such a great message. Love that, Joanne. Wow. Now, Joanne, before I let you go, I got to put you on the spot because you've definitely covered the Tigers.
Okay.
Game 5 is tonight. Decisive game. Give me a prediction.
My heart says the Tigers, but my head says the A's.
I'm the same way. I don't know. Boo me if you want.
I'm hoping, I hear they're going to throw out their 12-year-old kid, Sonny, again for the A's. So if he's pitching, maybe he'll get scared and realize it's Game 5 and not the Little League World Series. So if he gets a little nervous, I hope the Tigers will hit him up. But otherwise, if he pitches like the way he did the other night, with the situation with the Tigers bats, I think it gets a little scary.
Well,
so
there you
we're going to be in a roller coaster ride again.
Joanne, thanks so much.
Absolutely.
I'm not letting you off the hook just now because we got the 12th man coming right now. All right. Yes, it's time for the 12th man, folks, where we hear from our live studio audience as they throw questions at our guest for today, Joanne Gerstner. Joanne, thanks again so much.
My pleasure.
Our first question comes from Sierra Williams. Sierra, how you doing, and what's your question?
Pretty good, thank you. Hi. I just was wondering, have you ever faced any adversity in the field of sports journalism since you are a woman, and how did you handle it?
Oh, wow. Yes, absolutely. I get this routinely that even though I have a credential on, I usually get stopped twice by security when I need to go somewhere because they don't think a woman belongs in the areas where the male reporters go because I'm usually the only woman or one of the few there. So I've gotten yanked backwards by my credential lanyard, and that's not fun on your neck. I have had some people ask me if I was a wife or a groupie of an athlete.
Really?
Yeah, and that happened when I was in the NBA a few times, and I can guarantee you no male reporter has ever been asked if they were the husband or groupie of one of the athletes. So
me? No, never mind. Okay.
So there are some weird things. I will say this, though, there are some benefits in that the ladies' room in the media area is always open because it's just for me, basically. And I will say most of the guys are actually pretty chivalrous. I mean, I get the doors held open for me, and it's not all bad. I try to make things more positive, and I take adversity when it comes in stride and understand that maybe times it's out of ignorance and not because it's directly aimed at me. So I aim to educate, and for some people, I might be the first female sports writer they meet, so I want to leave them with a good impression so they're nice to the next, hopefully, 100 that are coming through the door.
Thanks so much, Sierra.
Thank you, Sierra.
All right, Macaulay, how you doing, and what's your question?
I'm over here. Oh. That's all right. My question's more about concussions. With today's NFL players being bigger, faster, just overall better, do you think concussions are occurring more often than they used to, or do you think it's just more media coverage about concussions?
That is a really deep question, and that's being debated everywhere. My simple answer to you is all the above. The guys are actually in no way comparison to, I mean, Dominick Sue is, can you imagine him playing in the 1950s? I mean, they would have been afraid of him. But that being said, is we're paying more attention to it. And because we're paying more attention to it, it seems like it's everywhere. But we're also medically paying more attention to it. So is it the chicken or the egg type of thing? And people question now maybe helmets, that people use helmets as weapons. And in the documentary, they talk about Mike Webster, who unfortunately end up having a lot of CTE and killed himself. And he led with his head. He was known as a ferocious, ferocious player. For 17 years in the NFL, he led with his head as a battering ram. Nothing good can come of that.
What do you expect?
So short answer, absolutely. All these things, we're paying attention, but we need to pay attention. And I think the players are happy we are paying attention.
McCauley, thanks for your question.
Thank you,
McCauley. Darren.
How you doing?
How you doing, man? What's your question?
Good, thanks. My question is, how much do you think the NFL stands to lose from the League of Denial?
Honestly, nothing. Stadiums will still be filled. People are still buying their merchandise. NFL Network is still making billions of dollars a year. They just settled the lawsuit with the players for a relatively small sum. So the NFL obviously is paying attention. I don't want to be callous to them. I think there are very good people that are knowing that this is an issue they're looking into. But the NFL is almost like the federal government. It's too big to fail. There's going to take a lot more than just the League of Denial to take it down.
And again, I want to remind folks, if you want to catch League of Denial, it's online at pbs.org. All right, Madeline, how you doing?
Good, thank you. What would you consider your most challenging aspect of your job?
My job's very physical. I think a lot of people don't realize that. You have to be climbing up and down stadiums, running around, dealing with a lot of stress, late nights, airports, things like that. So for a lot of people I know, they're kind of like, oh, I can be a sports writer. But then when you tell them about the tough deadlines that literally I'm writing the entire time the game is going and I have to file as soon as the game ends, you know, shut down my computer, run down to the locker room, which may be, you know, a good football field away, literally, get through the crowds, get to the players, get what I need, get back up, write my story all over again, and file it all within sometimes 40 minutes, it's not for everybody. So that can freak some people out. And I'm really lucky is in that my freak out triggers are pretty low, so I can go through a lot of things and not have it affect me. So I'm lucky.
Yes, that was Joanne Gerstner on Current Sports TV last night. She was a great guest. And I guess her heart was right as far as the Tigers and A's go. Her head was wrong, I guess you could say. Mine too. But yeah, if you want to comment on this discussion on concussions in sports, you know, you can give us a call right here at the studio, 517-355-9527. Again, that's 517-355-9527. Thanks, Joanne, for sitting down with me. Well, let's take a quick break and come right back. We still have tons to talk about, including the magical Detroit Tigers, who are now in the ALCS for a third straight season. We'll talk about that in just a sec. Don't go anywhere. More Current Sports coming right back.
The Affordable Care Act opened its marketplaces last week, but will the law actually make us healthier? I'm John Dankosky. Join me on Science Friday for a look at how Obamacare hopes to impact actual patient health. Plus, we're pitching predictions and mathematical models for baseball's postseason. That's on Science Friday from NPR.
That's Science Friday, coming up at 2 p.m.
Hi, I'm WKAR's Emmanuel Berry, host of Current State Weekend. Spend your weekends with me as I highlight current state weekday stories and explore mid-Michigan's vibrant arts and culture scene. We'll cover from the latest at Wharton Center to the diverse individuals that make Michigan's creative sector sing. It's Current State Weekend, Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1 on AM 870 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. It's our fall membership campaign here at WKAR. Time for you to make your investment in Current Sports on this public radio station. Make your call now at 517-353-5000 or use the Give Now link at WKAR.org.
Matt. Al, people make investments for many reasons. You know, usually they're trying to maybe get a leg up, make a nice financial play, get ahead of the game. But it's even nicer when you make an investment and it works for you and for others. And that's exactly what contributing to WKAR does. If you sign up for an Evergreen membership, which is just $10 a month, not only do you support the great programs here on WKAR, both TV and radio, You also get a member card, and the member card gets you discounts anywhere and everywhere you can imagine.
Big John's,
Buddies.
I mean, you go on and on.
They're refreshing the list, so they're going to have new areas, new stores, new restaurants that these deals are valid in. It works for you. Not only are you giving to a great cause, but at the same time, you're helping yourself. So
exactly.
Help us help you. Everybody wins. All you got to do, pick up the phone, dial 517-353-5000, go to WKAR.org, hit the donate button.
It's really, really simple. And you know what, Matt? You know, I've been, you know, here at WKAR now, I can't believe, 6 months already.
Time flies.
It flies by. And this is my first fall membership campaign, and I love it here so much that I'm actually becoming a member today. I'm going to give $40. Do we still have the discount, or is it $40? I have no idea. I'm going to give my $40, though, and I am becoming a WKAR member today. Because, hey, I work for you guys. I mean, I got to do it, right?
Right. Why not?
Why not? So I'll be giving my $40 later on. And I encourage you to do the same, because it's a family here at WKAR. We love you out there. We love the all of you tune in each and every day and become an official member. Make it official. 517-353-5000, or as Matt said, the Give Now link at WKAR.org, because it's a great cause, right, Matt?
Absolutely. And you know, there's more than one way to donate. You know, you can go for the lower membership level, that $40 level. You can go up to the Evergreen member, like I just said, at $120. You can be a day sponsor for $216. That's $18 a month. You pick a day, you get a personalized message up to 30 words. Maybe you're celebrating a special anniversary. Maybe it's a birthday you'd like to make a point of. And like we said earlier in the week, maybe you just want to brag about your fantasy football team.
Yeah,
maybe you want to brag about winning picks for the month. Maybe you want to let people know that Al and Alex are going to be singing soon.
Yeah, yeah.
All are valid.
All are valid.
Some are more hilarious than others, but all are valid. And we'll do it all for you. All you got to do, pick up the phone, 517-353-5000, or visit WKAR.org and donate. Today is the last day.
It's the last day you can do
this. Time's running out, guys.
Yeah, and you know, for me, you know, the biggest thing for me when I heard about that you can, you know, have an announcement throughout the day here on WKAR, a personalized announcement to whoever you want to. I mean, I immediately, you know, me being a lover man that I am, you know, back in the day, I was a player, but now I've settled down now.
Right.
But, you know, back in the day, man, you know, I would have loved to know something like this where, you know, I could just, you know, that fine dime Brizzle out there, I could just send a personalized message to her saying, baby, I love you and I miss you. And she could hear it, not one, not two, but possibly three times a day.
Right.
You know?
Maybe,
oh, man.
Maybe you tweak it so that each time it's a different girl. You set up one for the morning, one for the afternoon, one for the evening. I mean.
Right. You know? It could be.
Not
yeah.
that I endorse that at all, but
right,
it could be done.
It could be. Just hopefully the other one's not listening.
It's
at,
not inconceivable.
At 2:40 or
right,
something
yeah.
like that.
You know, listen at 11 and then maybe go for a jog or something. And then you tell the other girl, listen at 2:30.
Listen at 2:30.
Right.
Exactly. Man, that could definitely help a lot of you brothers out there, because, man, I know a few of my friends are slipping right now. So,
I mean.
I gotta let them know about
nothing
this.
Nothing says love like broadcasting it over the airwaves.
Exactly. It's nothing like that. All right. Nothing again, like that number is 517-353-5000, or use the Give Now link at WKAR.org. And yes, Al Martin, I will be making my donation today and become an official member, because I feel as though it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, be like Al, everybody.
There
donate.
You go. Donate, folks. All right, well, let's get back to the show. We have to talk about the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers have been simply just amazing. This is their third straight trip to the ALCS. They got a 3-0 shutout win last night over the Oakland Athletics. Impressive stuff. And let's dissect this game really quick, Matt. Looking at this, you got to talk about Justin Verlander. Justin Verlander, I don't know what it is. I wish every player was like this, because when the playoffs hit, Justin Verlander goes in the booth, he puts on the JV cape and comes out, and he's Superman. He was unbelievable last night. Last night, he pitched 8 innings, only allowed 2 hits, struck out 10. I mean, he's been great. He was great. And, you know, looking back at it, I mean, the Tigers did get the win, of course, last night to move on. But in game two, he was also great in game two, but the Tigers didn't get the win that game. They lost 1-0 against the A's as that game went on. But, you know, as this, if you look at just the, you know, this, these, the last few starts for Justin Verlander. Actually, I want to talk about the last four starts for him, Matt. Let's go back to the Twins and Tigers, where the Tigers lost actually that game 4-3. But JV was great in that game. He pitched six innings. Six hits is kind of up there, but he allowed six hits. Struck out 12, though. Decent game. Next game, Marlins. Tigers lose that one as well. 1-0 to the Marlins. Six innings pitch, allowed three hits, had 10 strikeouts in that game. And then we go to that game two against the A's, which the Tigers lost that one as well. 1-0, seven innings pitched, four hits, 11 strikeouts, and they finally get a win for JV here. Eight innings pitched, two hits, 10 strikeouts. And I got to tell you, Matt, when you look at that, and, you know, even though JV is going out there and doing his thing, he's dealing. When you put it into context, JV has not got the run support that a guy such as Max Scherzer has gotten all year. You know what I mean? And that's saying a lot, though, there. And JV, though, like I said, when the season, you know, comes to a near in the playoffs start up, it's like he just transforms into this phenom. His focus goes to another level. He was awesome last night.
Yeah, he was, you know, the phrase that I think is most appropriate, he was locked in.
Yeah.
From the very start. And, you know, those numbers you're talking about, he's got 29 straight scoreless innings going back into the season.
Exactly.
So we talked earlier, you know, before the series started about how the Tigers might be in trouble because they kind of limped into the playoffs as far as the bats are concerned. Justin Verlander was just the opposite, quietly the opposite, too, because the storyline for him the whole season was how much he had struggled compared to recent years.
Right.
But like you said, those last few starts of the season, he started to put things together and started to get things rolling for the playoffs.
And he said he would, too. I mean, I remember in the middle of the season, he said, okay,
and
I'm
it's really,
fine.
It's
I just
all
work
that
on my location.
It's all that matters.
Right. That's
had,
all that matters.
He had some mechanical issues earlier in the season. Clearly, he's fixed those.
Yeah.
He looked unhittable for a majority of the game last night. And you could tell the A's were thinking the exact same thing. Just the look on the faces in the dugout.
Right.
Not a bunch of happy campers. And he really does. He owns the A's. In his last 31 innings versus the Oakland Athletics, 31 playoff innings, one run, 13 hits, 43 strikeouts.
Unbelievable, right?
He's got 30 scoreless innings versus the A's in playoff baseball.
Yeah, JV wishes he could play the A's each and every time he goes out there because he has had – that's a ridiculous success rate against one team.
Last night on Wikipedia, someone edited the Oakland A's page and listed Justin Verlander as the owner of the team. And it's hilarious.
That's great.
Very, very
shout
appropriate.
Out to whoever did that.
Absolutely. That was so funny. And
wow.
Totally true. The guy just – dominates.
Yeah, he's been, you know, he's saying a lot because last night when Cespedes actually got a hit in the seventh, you know, it's saying a lot when a guy finally gets a hit in the seventh inning and there was a standing ovation.
Yep.
A standing ovation for one hit. I mean, that's saying a lot. JV, he was dialed in. He's been spectacular. And you know what else? Miguel Cabrera, I think it was important for him to come out because we talked about, you know, when Miggy goes out there and seems to be, you know, having that first hit. It seems as though the team just rallies behind that. It gets the whole team in the mood, like, okay, game time. And Miggy's lift for the Tigers in that fourth inning when he got that home run, it was like, you know, okay. And he tried to slink that fastball over the plate. You can't do that against Miguel Cabrera.
No.
He clobbered it, home run. Once that happened, I'm like, okay. I started feeling a good vibe from this Tigers team. You saw the bench kind of, you know, they stood up a little bit and saying, okay, game time. And that's what happened. When Mickey has a good game, it seems as though these players just rally behind him, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and not only that, but it clearly looked like he got to Sonny Gray.
Oh,
the
yeah,
A's
without
pitcher,
a
because,
doubt.
I mean, he hit that ball and
crushed it and just
watched it.
Right.
Just watched it go. And then, you know, after that, they loaded the bases that inning. I thought they were going to get more on the board. They didn't. Luckily, it didn't come back to bite him.
Yeah.
But you knew once he hit that ball that they were in a good place and that they definitely had control of the game. And it was only going to take a bullpen blunder, which it was scary
it
in
was
that
scary.
Ninth inning.
You know, and that's what I'm
very
saying.
Very scary.
Yeah, you talk about the Tigers. The starting pitching has been, you know, pretty decent throughout this entire season, to be honest with you. I mean, Scherzer's been great, of course. Anibal Sanchez, he had the lowest ERA in the entire American League this season. You talk about Doug Fister. Many Tigers fans were pretty pleased with his performance throughout the entire year. JV, a little rocky, but look at him now.
Right.
You know, it's all about what have you done for me lately when it comes to sports. So starting pitching, I'm not concerned about. It's just about that, you know, the relief. Because last night, I was nervous.
I was too. As soon as the eighth inning ended and Verlander came to the dugout and they were giving him the pats on the back, great job, you're done. I was like, oh, why is he done? Why not just throw him out there for another inning?
right.
They're not going to hit him for three runs.
Exactly. It's just like you want to leave him out there, almost.
Just let him go. Let him finish.
Back in the 50s, just let him pitch the whole game.
I think he was the same way, because that entire ninth inning they kept panning over to Verlander and he's just sitting there, legs bouncing.
Oh yeah, his hat was down.
Talking to himself. He's just trying to get through. Right. And I can't imagine, performing like that and then, you just kind of leave it up to somebody else to close the door.
Yeah, because for him it's got to be deja vu, because he's seen this happen in the past. I mean, I just went past, his past four starts, three of those were losses.
Right.
When he goes out there, pitches these gems, strikes out 10, 11, 12. Then all of a sudden, the end of the game comes, you bring in the relief pitching, and then a catastrophe happens.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's got to be so frustrating. I'm sure that was in the back of his head.
Absolutely.
Especially
in an elimination game.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. So, justifiably so. I mean, and Benoit went out there. He had two men on base. I believe it was two outs at one point. And you're sitting there like, okay, just get through this, and, we can put it to bed and let's move on here. But, yeah, the relief pitching has to be better for the Tigers, though. I mean, because, like I said, in the past, specifically a guy like JV, who has just been so dialed in when it comes to the playoffs, you get a little nervous almost. And I feel like, you shouldn't have to with this team, the talent that's on this team. I mean, Benoit has been shaky. I know there's even talks about now coming out about, if he even will be a Tiger next season. Bruce Rondon, of course, is supposed to be, the rookie star closer for this team, and then he gets injured.
Right.
And, the Tigers were kind of scrambling to see what happens. I mean, of course, at the beginning of the season when we even saw Papa Grande come back for this team.
Don't remind me.
Exactly. And it's one of those things where it's like, Tigers starting pitching great, but we got to find a solid closer.
Yep.
One of these days.
Somebody who we're confident in. And I think, Benoit's getting there, but.
Yeah. He's still shaky, though. It's like you never know what you're going to get, man.
And as a Tiger fan, you still kind of, you think back to the days of Valverde, other than the 1 year where he was perfect. And even going back farther. Hold your horse. Brace yourself here. Todd Jones.
The
roller coaster that was Todd Jones. I mean, whenever we get to the late innings of a game and we have a small lead, you're never totally comfortable.
You're not that comfortable, and you're still sitting on the edge of your seat. You know what I mean?
Especially when Coco Crisp was leading off the inning.
Oh,
when
yeah.
we got him out,
right.
it felt really good. Because,
right.
gosh, that guy was a thorn in the Tigers'
yes,
side.
Yes, Crisp and, Cespedes were great that entire series
for
the A's. So I believe we have Apachu on line one. Apachu, how you doing, brother?
Good. How you guys doing?
Great.
Yeah, I'm feeling good, too. Still on that high. I got a little scared when Benoit came in there.
Yeah.
As far as Coco's concerned, to me, he's the scariest dude in Major League Baseball, man. He reminds me of that guy who used to play for the Athletics years ago, Henderson.
Okay.
Henderson was an incredible leadoff man, incredible speed, had a good glove, had a good bat. Coco's a bad dude, man.
Yeah, he is.
So he was the key. Get him out, as quick as you can, and you're in good shape. But if you notice Benoit, when he was interviewed 10 or 15 minutes after the game, one of the announcers had a comment on how he was panting, how he was breathing deeply.
Yeah.
And he is obvious he was very nervous and so forth. I think the good side of that is that he's in the playoffs. Now he knows he's in the playoffs, so he really got a leg up on some of the other pitchers, because he was down in the dungeon and he felt the pain and fear of a playoff game, and he did well.
So you think it was a slap in the face for him? It was a good slap in the face for him?
Yeah, wake up, boy, we're here. You know what I'm saying? It was beautiful. So I don't know, man. I haven't kept track of Boston. I was afraid of Athletics. I felt at the time that if you could pass Athletics, you're going to the World Series. What do you guys think about that, with that matchup with Boston? Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
Hey, no problem, Apachu. Well, yeah, I mean, now they play a solid Boston team, a scary Boston team, I think, at that. It's not going to be easy. I think for the Tigers to have continued success to get past the Boston Red Sox, again, I think it comes down to hitting, and it comes down to that starting pitching still being consistent. You got to hit against the Red Sox. You got to hit. You can't go innings, You can't go into the sixth still with nothing, against this team. And I think, I'm still a little nervous now because the season's going on. That wear and tear is still on Mickey. He's still not 100%. I mean, last night's pitch that he hit a homer off in that fourth inning, that was a gift. I mean, that was one of those pitches that were above the plate. You cannot try and sneak a fastball past Miguel Cabrera over the plate. he's going to smash that any day of the week. You know what I mean? So that was one of those things where, you know, it's a gimme for him. He'll hit home runs all day if you give him that pitch. Against Boston, though, he may not see a lot of those. And, you know, Miggy, I think him not being 100% scares me. The Tigers' bats being cold, even looking at this A's series, you know, at the beginning of the series, I'm still a little nervous about that. I'm still not confident on how well they can hit as the series goes on. But those things have to change if the Tigers are going to have success. If there's anything I'm confident in, I'm confident in that starting pitching. I think the starting pitcher for the Tigers, I'm not too worried about.
Yeah, and we've seen in the past how far two dominant starters can take you. And that's exactly what they have in Verlander and Scherzer. And then you throw in Sanchez and Pfister as, you know, depth guys.
Yeah.
That's a pretty formidable rotation.
That's solid,
and,
man.
You know, going back to the Boston versus Oakland as far as who I was more scared to play, it was definitely Oakland.
Yeah,
I thought coming in, they were the scariest team just because not only did they have the Tigers' number in the earlier series in the season, they just look like the kind of team that would beat the Tigers. You know, solid defensively, they make plays on the base paths, you know, solid pitching, and you know, obviously really good defense again. And you got guys like Coco Crisp who are just those thorns in your side. But going forward, you know, you look at Scherzer and Verlander and you like the way they match up against just about anybody. And, Boston has Clay Buchholz, but they also have, you know, John Lester who's giving up like four runs a game in the playoffs consistently.
Right, Lester will be the starting pitcher. He's starting off against Sanchez, as being said, on October 12th at 8 p.m.
See, I like our odds there.
Yeah, I do. I do too.
And it's interesting, Jose Iglesias playing his old team.
Right.
Maybe like that to, like,
that's true.
The story from the Bears-Lions game a few weeks ago where the Bears players were mad because Israel Adonijay was apparently giving the Lions their signals. Maybe Jose Iglesias will tip off the Tigers to what the Red Sox
nice.
Are doing.
That'd be
I
nice,
mean, he
right?
should.
He should. He's playing with the Tigers now. He doesn't have a Red Sox jersey on anymore.
He has no loyalty to the
exactly,
Red Sox
no
anymore.
No loyalty at all. This is the playoffs,
Give
baby.
Us some pointers, Jose.
There you go, man.
But I think going forward, you know, the Tigers have obviously a great shot to get to the World Series.
Yeah.
I think now that they've cleared the Oakland hurdle, got some momentum. The bats finally woke up a little bit.
And I hope they continue to – I hope they stay woke. I don't
Me
hope
too.
Take some sleeping pills.
Me
you know
too.
I mean?
But, you know, fewer total cross-country flights, no time zone shifts.
Right.
Maybe that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
I think going forward, they're in good shape.
Well, I think we're in the mood for a prediction here. We have Alex Shark with us now. Let's do it.
Yeah, we got a lot of picks here.
We do. We got to go to the NFL as well. We're going to get there. But just for this series, Tigers and Boston Red Sox – go ahead, Alex. What do you think?
Man, leaving it to me. And this is a seven this time. Seven
games.
We are 100% sure.
100%
in
the championship
games.
Series. Now,
right.
Okay.
Whew. So. All right. Let's do Tigers in six.
You read my notes?
Yeah, you took.
I'm reading the same Vegas lines as you, Al. Maybe that's what it is.
Wow.
I did some research in these NFL picks too. I'm very confident.
Good. That makes three of us because I scribbled down Tigers in six right before Alex started talking.
Gotcha. We all have Tigers in six then.
Let's go Tigers.
Okay, Tigers. Tigers are in the ALCS for the third straight year. It should be fun, folks. Okay, well, let's take a quick break and then come right back. We still have our headlines to get to. We still got NFL picks to get to. Reflection Friday. Still a lot more coming on Current Sports. Don't go anywhere.
What's it like for parents who have a child who is profoundly different or likely to be stigmatized? A child who was born with Down syndrome, autism, or dwarfism, or a child who was conceived in rape? On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Andrew Solomon. His book, Far From the Tree, has been published in paperback. And film critic David Edelstein reviews Captain Phillips. Join us.
That's Fresh Air, coming up at 3 o'clock. Welcome back to Current Sports. As always, I'm your host, Al Martin. Well, again, it's our fall membership campaign here at WKAR. Time for you to make your investment in Current Sports on this public radio station. Make your call now, 517-353-5000, or use the Give Now link at WKAR.org. Again, I stated that I will be giving my $40 to become a member here at WKAR. So you do the same, folks. Come on. It's real simple.
Yeah. Match Al.
Match
Al. Donation for a donation.
There you go.
Now, Al, back in the summer, I also work in the RRS department, the Radio Reading Service department.
Yeah.
And I got into the habit of going to QD, picking up two newspapers, and I can never help myself. Those donuts just call my name. I used to get a donut a day.
A donut a day? Oh, my God. You're going to have diabetes, man.
And that's a dollar a day. And yeah. You know what else is a dollar a day? One of the pledge levels that you can call in and donate today. It's just a dollar a day, $365 a year. It's better for your conscience and a heck of a lot better for your waistline. So
yeah,
go ahead. Instead of getting those donuts every day, go ahead, donate a dollar a day to WKAR. Support the great programs we have here. Help us help you. WKAR. All you got to do, pick up the phone, call 517-353-5000. Go to WKAR.org. Hit the donate now button.
It's so simple, man. And you were a dollar a day on donuts? You better go to the doctor.
I was in a dark place, Al. I was in a dark place. But it was delicious.
I bet. I'm sure it was, man. But yes, a dollar. It's very simple. Again, 517-353-5000 or use the Give Now link at WKAR.org. Again, I'm giving my $40 today. You do the same. It's really, really simple, guys. Donate now. 517-353-5000. All right, well, let's get back to the show, guys. We haven't even got to our headlines yet. Such a packed day in the world of sports. I'll try to fly through these really quick. The Lansing NPSL. Veteran soccer coach Eric Rutland has been named the first head coach and general manager for Lansing's new NPSL soccer franchise, which starts play in the spring of 2014. Team owner Jeremy Sampson, who of course was the sports anchor over at Channel 10 News, says that, quote, Eric is the perfect coach to lead our team out for the first time. He's the team owner of the Lansing NPSL. Congrats to Jeremy on that. Quite an accomplishment. Rutland has coaching experience in the USA and in England, serving as the head coach for Spring Arbor University from 2011-2012. He led the Cougars to two tournament finals, including a championship in the 2012 Crossroads League Tournament. His 16-4-2 record that season earned the NSCAA Mid-East Region Coach of the Year Award, as well as a nomination for the NAIA National Coach of the Year. Spring Arbor won 11 games in 2011 after winning just two the previous. So there you have it. The Lansing's newest minor league soccer team owner, Jeremy Sampson, they have announced Eric Rutland as their new coach. All right, Magic. Magic Johnson is leaving ESPN. That's right. Magic announced on Thursday that he'll no longer be a part of ESPN's NBA coverage because of other commitments. Magic joined the network in 2008. He appeared on ESPN and ABC as a studio and game analyst. Now, Johnson is part of the ownership group that agreed to buy the Los Angeles Dodgers in March of 2012. Since retiring from basketball, he has been successful in business, investing in movie theaters, a production company, and restaurants. He's doing so much. He expanded his role on ESPN to join the NBA Countdown crew in 2011. All right, Megatron, Calvin Johnson was back on the practice field for the Detroit Lions. That doesn't mean his status for this weekend is even close to be determined. Jim Schwartz said afterwards that, quote, I don't have any updates on him. You guys saw what you saw. Now, Johnson was inactive in a loss at Green Bay last weekend because of an injured right knee. He did not practice Wednesday, but he was on the field Thursday during the portion of practice open to reporters. Johnson didn't participate in every drill. He went on to say that, quote, it feels good to be out there. I'm feeling better, definitely, so we can just leave it at that. Bears and Giants. The Bears topped the Giants 27-21 yesterday on Thursday Night Football. The Bears snapped a two-game slide following a 3-0 start. New York is 0-6 for the first time since the 1976 team dropped its first nine games. A stunning turn for a franchise that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Also want to note that congratulations to Devin Hester, who became the Bears' career leader in kickoff return yards. He has 4,643 after running back three for 73 yards. All right, Adrian Peterson's son. Sad news here. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson has missed practice this week to be in South Dakota for what was initially called, quote, personal reasons. Now, recent reports out of South Dakota report something far more serious. Peterson's two-year-old son is reportedly in critical condition after allegedly being beaten by the man dating the boy's mother. Now, according to the South Dakota Argus Leader, the suspect, James Patterson, has been charged with aggravated felony assault and battery of an infant, which carries a sentence of up to 25 years in prison. Now, Peterson, who is returning to practice today, is expected to address the media this afternoon. Heat and Pistons, despite 28 points from Will Bynum, and 21-11 from Andre Drummond. The Pistons fell to the Miami Heat 112-107 in their second preseason game. The defending champs, led by Chris Bosh's 28 points, took a 9-point lead in the halftime, which and held on in the second half. LeBron James, Michael Beasley, and Norris Cole scored 9 points each, while Dwayne Wade scored 8 in his preseason debut after sitting out of the Heat's opener as a, quote, precautionary measure. Also want to note that the Pistons, as far as an injury report for them, Brandon Jennings was held out of the starting lineup for a wisdom tooth discomfort, and Rodney Stuckey is out indefinitely after breaking a bone in the tip of his thumb while closing a car door. No word if a pizza was involved. What's up with Detroit athletes just doing just crazy stuff off the field? Pizza like, falling on the ground, you break your arm, and now he's Rodney Stuckey slamming his thumb in the door. Well,
just
come
like
on,
stay
man.
Away from cars, guys.
Exactly, yeah. Don't drive them. Just walk to practice, ugh. I guess. Man, that's terrible. Terrible stuff there. All right, Minnesota Lynx. Led by star Maya Moore, the Minnesota Lynx swept the Atlanta Dream to win their second WNBA title in 3 seasons with a 86-77 victory last night, though it was a 3-game sweep. Moore said it was anything but easy. Moore's 23 were aided by Rebecca Brunson's 15 points and 12 rebounds and Lindsey Whalen's 15 points and 6 assists. The Dream, who are quickly approaching Buffalo Bills territory, were swept in the finals for the third time in 4 years. Also want to note that Jerry Kill, after missing last week's game against Michigan, Minnesota head coach Jerry Kill has decided to take an extended leave of absence to focus on treatment and management of his epilepsy. Now, Kill, who has missed time in 2 games and man, he's really struggling with seizures for years, but never missed an entire game due to his condition. He didn't make the trip last week to Ann Arbor. Now, defensive coordinator Tracy Clayless will take over as acting head coach. Thoughts and prayers from Current Sports out to Jerry Kill. Really hope he gets well. All right, well, it's Friday, so that means we have to make our NFL picks, and I am not trying to sing again. We'll be singing next week, Alex and I. I'm told by Aaron that we might be doing a rap battle. What's up with that, man?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe we'd switch things up. I can't decide if I want you guys to do a duet or have a freestyle rap battle.
Wow.
Either or. Maybe give us a post on our Facebook page to see what you would rather hear.
I like that.
Them sing a duet, a lovely duet, or to
a
sing.
Lovely duet.
No, it's going to be lovely.
Now,
guys.
Now lovely, does that mean it's going to be romantic lovely? Is it going to be
that means romantic.
Pretty lovely?
That means romantic.
All okay. of the above.
All of the above.
All of the above. Or they could have a knockdown, drag out freestyle rap battle.
I used to rap back in the day, man. So, you know, back you know, at Annapolis High School before, you know, the class started, we'd just go at it for about 5 to 10 minutes off the top of the dome. Nothing really serious, just rapping about, you know, class.
So Al's got teaching. Some experience.
I got
here.
Some experience at that, so.
That'd be an unfair advantage. Uh-oh.
I'm coming at it, man.
All right, but before we get to the NFL picks, we got to cover the NL. It's the NLCS,
yeah.
Dodgers versus Cardinals. Give me your winner and the number of games.
Give me the Cardinals in 6.
Okay.
I'll take the Cards in 6, too.
All right. I'm going to take the Dodgers in 7.
Really?
Wow.
Kershaw and Greinke, man.
Yeah,
two starters, true. Two dominant starters.
It's going to be interesting.
It can take you an
series.
Awfully long way. It's going to be a really fun
it's
series.
A fun
the
series,
Cardinals
man.
Are tough to bet against in the playoffs, though.
Yes,
They've
they
got
are.
3 straight NLCSs.
Right. So you have 2
it's
teams.
So boring. Gosh, baseball.
Yeah, I know,
switch
right?
things up.
The Tigers and the Cards, 3 straight trips to the championship series.
Goodness.
That's remarkable, man.
That's consistency if I've ever seen it. Yeah. All right, let's all get right. to the NFL. First game on the slate, Bengals at the Bills.
Alex?
I don't know. The Bills lately, I don't know. I'll take the Bills, though, this week.
I'm going Bills over Bengals as well.
I'm going to take the Bengals on the road.
Gotcha.
As much as it pains me to believe in Andy Dalton, I'm going to go ahead and do
You're
it.
You're
anyway.
Doing it.
All right, Lions at the Browns.
And score or no?
Yeah, let's do score for this one, too.
Lions over Browns, 21-7 Lions.
Low scoring, huh?
Yeah.
Calvin's still not sure, so.
Calvin is still, yeah, that's the thing that it throws a wrench in the thing.
Yeah. It really does.
Game, you know, yeah. Mm.
I'll say 24-14 Lions.
Okay. I'm going to say 21-10 Lions. Browns defense is
solid.
Very
fourth,
legit.
Fourth in the league.
Very legit.
Yeah.
All right, Raiders at the Chiefs.
I'm going to go Chiefs over Raiders.
I'll go Chiefs.
Makes 3 of us. Chiefs staying perfect.
They staying perfect,
All
man.
All right, Panthers at the Vikings.
I'm going to take the Panthers over the Vikings.
I'm going to give the Vikings their first win of the season.
Well, no, they've already won.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They did win one.
They did win one. They're 1-3.
First stateside win.
I'll give them their I'll give them their second win of the season.
There you go.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is this their first home win?
No, they're 1-1.
They won in London.
Oh,
yeah, they won in London, yeah.
I'm going to take the Vikings as well. So that is Al taking Carolina and both of us taking the Vikings.
Yep.
Steelers at the Jets.
I'm going to say that the Steelers finally get a W here. I'm going with the Steelers over the Jets. Steelers 0-4. Jets are, you know, they're pretty good at home. They're very, very good at home. They haven't lost at home yet, but I'm going the Steelers over the Jets.
Alex? All right.
I think the Jets have to come back at some point. I feel like New York fans will just have a fit with the Jets and the Giants together.
I mean, the Jets had a big win at the Falcons.
They did.
Yeah.
They're
3-2 right now.
I'm taking the Jets.
Okay. I'm going out on
the Steelers are.
Yeah.
They're bad.
They're real bad.
I'll go with the Jets.
I think they finally get one here. They're due for one.
They disallowed playing ping pong in other games in their locker room.
Yeah. Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin said, hey, no games.
Brought the hammer down. Let's focus.
Just focus. You know, a lot of players seem to be, you know, they're not too mad about it. I mean,
yikes. They're still getting paid, though.
Yeah, they're still getting paid, baby.
All right. Eagles at the Buccaneers.
I'm going Eagles over the Bucs. Bucs are terrible. 0-4.
Yeah. I'll go Eagles.
I'm going to take Tampa Bay.
Are you?
At home.
They are home.
They've caught some bad breaks. Their defense is good. No Mike Vick.
Yeah.
They have Darrell Revis to match up with DeSean Jackson. I kind of like the Buccaneers.
I don't know. I think Mike Vick's going to have a good week this week against them, against that terrible Bucs defense.
All right. Packers at Ravens.
Give me Green Bay. Going with Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers coming off the win over the Lions. He's got some swag. He's got some confidence now. I think he outplays Flacco in this one.
All right, Alex?
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Ravens at home?
Yeah.
Ravens are tough to judge. They're a different team every week, but I'm going to take them at home, too. I think it's tough to win in Baltimore. Give me the Ravens. All right, St. Louis Rams at the Houston Texans.
I'm going with the Texans over the Rams. Texans are at home. Rams have yet to win on the road. They're 2-3 right now. So, yeah, give me the Texans.
All right.
Does that make three of us?
I think it's about to if you take the Texans too. There we go.
Now this question should be how much?
This one that's what we're gonna do.
Broncos and Jags,
we're gonna do the line, which is 28, I believe.
Yeah. 28 is
Will
the
Broncos
line.
Win by more or less than 28 points over the Jaguars this week?
I'm gonna go less.
I'm gonna go less too.
Well, this is boring because I'm gonna go less as well. That line is huge.
It's huge. It's tied for the biggest.
And if they're up that much, like, is Peyton Manning gonna play the fourth quarter? Like,
no,
you know,
right.
It just
seems
like
rest the guy, you know. Yeah, rest the guy, you know.
Give me less. All right, Titans at the Seahawks.
Now I'm going with Seattle in this one. They have yet to lose at home.
Seahawks
4-1. Give me Seattle, man.
It's three of us again.
Yep.
They're just too tough at home. Saints at the Patriots.
Give me the Pats. This is going to be a really, really good game.
This is going to be a good game.
Saints are undefeated. Pats are 4-1. I'm going to go Pats at home.
I'm taking the New Orleans Saints.
I had a feeling you were going to do that.
Come on, Jimmy Graham.
I can see the twinkle in Matt's eye when we went to that game.
Saints.
They're good.
They are.
Drew Brees looks great.
Sean Payton, man.
Yeah.
That guy can coach.
Yes, he can.
And their defense is playing well, and Jimmy Graham's really, really good.
I just think New England
carrying my fantasy teams.
Yeah.
All right. Arizona at the 49ers.
49ers over Cardinals.
Same.
Yep. Three straight. Okay. Sunday Night Football, RG3 versus Tony Romo. How many points are they going to score in this game?
I think the Cowboys are going to win, of course. But, man, I'm still hurting over last week, man. The Cowboys had a golden opportunity give Peyton their first loss of the season, and Tony, just throws an interception.
You cannot blame Tony Romo.
I'm blaming. In those situations, man.
You score 48 points a game, you win.
But in those situations, you gotta deliver. And Tony Romo just has not. He hasn't delivered, man.
Threw for 500 yards.
That's a lot of yards. But don't get me wrong. In the clutch, you gotta perform in the clutch, man. You gotta.
The play that the guy made on the interception was incredible.
A nice play. It was a great play.
It was incredible.
But Tony,
it wasn't the classic Tony
this song
Romo
before,
back
though, man.
Foot, terrible throw.
Matt, we've sung this song before where Tony in the clutch, he has the game in his hands, and he just totally just screws it up, and there you go.
I mean, would I take him in the regular season? Sure. Would I take him in the playoffs?
I'm talking
not
as a Cowboys fan here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you've got some hurt behind
it. It's personal.
All right, Alex.
Last one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Chargers, Colts at Chargers, Monday Night Football.
Give me the Colts.
Oh, I thought you meant the last pick for the game. Oh, so back to this pick.
Your Redskins and Cowboys.
I'll go with Cowboys.
Cowboys, yeah, that's three of us again.
Cowboys and Colts for me.
You're taking the Chargers, you said, Alex?
Yep.
All right, I'm going to take the Chargers, too.
There we go. Favorite moment of the week, guys, real quick.
real quick.
Pledging was hilarious fun. I really enjoyed pledging.
Joanne Gerstner was great, man.
Wasn't she? Joanne had great insight. All right, before we leave, special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. Production assistants Alex Shark, Matt Ludke, engineer Aaron Young, Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Thanks to Joanne Gerstner once again. She was great. You can listen to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. Have a fantastic homecoming weekend, MSU. And for those who aren't going to homecoming, have a fantastic weekend. And as always, be easy, people.